We have two celebrity deaths this week.
Good Lord, stop with these fucking deaths, dude. Stop
Hey,
it.
I'm not
Just
causing
stop it.
it.
Terrible. Terrible.
It's not my fault, dude. It's life, you know, or
Yeah,
lack
yeah.
thereof. Lack thereof is a better term.
Lack of life. I get
Lack of
it.
life, yeah.
I get it. Ha, very funny.
Yeah.
So, all
Well,
right.
one is tra I think one is more tragic than the other, but
Well, I guess we'll find out. So,
yeah.
all right, guys, welcome to the Toddcast. It's been a week.
Yep.
And by that, it's just literally been 7 days. It's not really been like a crazy week or anything. It's just been 7 days.
No, it's been very chill, surprisingly. It's
Yeah.
not been too bad.
It's actually been kind of nice for
Yeah.
once. So yeah, some stuff coming up. Don't forget, in like 2 weeks we get the Ron Friend signing. You can still pre-order the giant archive edition black suit stuff up at the Cranberry store. You get your hands on that. You get a you can also pre-order the Fantastic Four Fanfare 3, which he did a backer story in. You get it for free. We have Helltown coming up. We still have some spaces left for that. So if you're a vendor and you want to get some space for that, you can do that too. Trying to think. Other than that, I mean, we have another Magic pre-release coming up at the end of the month already.
Yep, again.
Yeah.
The cards look sick. That's I will say that.
Yeah. It's the same weekend as Fantastic Four's movie release, so.
So we'll be extra busy at the mills, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, between the
Busy at the
theater and the movie, or
movie.
between the theater and the pre-release, it's gonna be awesome. By the way, I'm not in town during the week leading up to that, and then we have Helltown on Sunday. So good times. Yay. it'll be fine. We'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Anyway, welcome. Hanging out, I guess. Just so you guys know, I did see Superman, so we'll talk about that a little later after we talk some comics, because we like to put the spoiler stuff toward the end. I did also buy a brand new bass guitar today, just so you guys know.
You
I
were, yes,
traded
he
in.
was.
So listen, the bass I traded in was the very first stringed instrument I ever owned, and I got it
Ooh.
almost 30 years ago. I got it 31 years ago, and I still got over $100 for
Nice,
and that
nice.
thing had been all over the East Coast with me, but unfortunately, it just had a P pickup, like a precision pickup, and I wanted something with precision and jazz pickup. So I ended up getting a Schechner Silhouette, and it's got some beautiful tone, 24 pickups. It's got a matte black finish, and I've already tracked some stuff with it while my wife was upstairs, because I was bored and needed something to do. And I wanted to, see how it sounded. And it sounds fantastic. I love it. So if you're into music, if you're into guitars and stuff, check it out. Check out Schechner. It was between that and a Sterling, but I already own a Sterling 5-string, so I was like, but I wanted to check out the Schechner, and it was worth it. I liked it. It's good. I dig it.
So
Got
you
love
and
tone.
our mutual friend Matt Sabbath will have to
Oh yeah, I
join.
should probably tell him about that. I didn't
He'll
tell him that I
probably
got that.
be like, I'll tune it up for you, and he'll do his he'll work his magic on that sucker, and it'll probably
Or he'll
sound
be
a
like, "I already have one of those."
lot better. Which is entirely possible.
He'll probably have,
Entirely
I have
possible.
three of those, actually. So, no, I'll like, I mean, it was so new. Like, they literally opened the box and pulled it out of the box and gave it to me. Because someone had just bought the one they had on the floor, like, the day before.
Oh,
So,
wow.
yeah, so it was, like, literally brand new. It was awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. So, anyway, good times. Thanks to the guys at Guitar Center at Robinson. They're always great. Those guys, they just kick ass. So if you guys want a great experience with some music stuff, go out there, check them out. Also, the guys down at Brighton Music Center on Babcock are always great as well. Those are my two places to go. I do go out to Monroeville every once in a while, but usually it's the Robinson guys. The store is just a little bigger, and they usually have a little bit better selection, in my opinion. So, anyway. Okay. Well, I guess we'll go with your celebrity deaths. Bring me down. Bring me down, Justin.
Well,
Bring me down.
let's start with the more comic focused one. Unfortunately, we lost Julian McMahon.
Yeah.
For those who don't know who he is, Dr. Doom from the original Fantastic Four movies, Fox ones, Charmed. He was in Charmed. I think that was his breakout role, to be honest, if I remember correctly.
No,
It
he
was the
was
one that
in.
kind of broke him into the scene, though.
It was the one that broke him into the US.
Yes.
Because he was
He's
he's actually like
Australian.
Australian, and he
Yes.
was in he was in some Australian soap operas. He was in some a soap opera here. I want to say it was like All My Children or something for like
It's
two
always All My
seasons.
Children's. Yeah, it's
Yeah, it was like two
they
seasons.
would do that,
It was very, very short.
And then
But yeah,
he also
then.
was one of the main guys in Nip Tuck, long running show. It was actually pretty. I love that show, honestly.
I did too. I thought
It
that
was
was
a really
great.
good drama. It was some messed up stuff, messed up subject matter, but there was still. It was definitely one of those last TV series that I think people really enjoyed and tuned in for a long time, because I think that was like 10
Yeah.
seasons, if I'm not mistaken. It was a lot.
I think I don't think it was that long.
It
I'll
was like
check, but I
eight
don't
to
think it was
ten
that long.
seasons. It was 8 to 10 seasons. It was something along that line. Like, I know it was past five, so maybe 7 or 8. I
Six
could six.
seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it did make it past five seasons.
Yeah.
So.
I think it I think you're right. I think it was kind of held up there, kind of like how people love House. Like I
Yeah.
kind of put it up there like that or Lost. Like it
Yeah.
was in that generation, right?
Yes.
And of
It's like
course,
the
you know,
last
like
great TV stuff before streaming became a thing.
right.
But I'm not wrong on that. I think that's probably about
Right. Oh
right.
yeah, absolutely. And then again he was in the Fantastic Four movies.
And in
I
all
think we're
honesty,
missing
I
something.
liked him in Doctor Doom. He did a
I thought he was
lot
a good Doctor Doom. The
of
only thing I wish he had would have been an accent. That was the only thing I always thought that he was missing.
But I thought, as far as his charisma, like, he was known through his charisma through everything. I mean, he
Right.
was him and Hugh Jackman seemed to have that Australian charisma that just
Yeah.
draws people in. Hugh took it to a different level, but he sadly passed the cancer, is what he died of. I think he
Not
was
Hugh
like,
Jack.
no, not Hugh Jackman, Julian. We cannot lose Wolverine right yet.
Not the huge yak man.
No. But no, he was only 56, so he was
Wow.
younger than Hugh, actually. So
Wow.
it's sad. I mean, I know he didn't do a lot of acting recently, but when you have cancer, I doubt you have a lot of opportunities to do things. So hearts go out to his family. It's sad to see someone like that
For sure. For
do
sure.
so well for so long. And our second celebrity, I don't know if I'd use the word celebrity, but we'll say well-known, composer Mark Snow, who composed the X-Files theme, passed away.
No shit, really?
Yes, he was
Oh. That's a
78, though, so he lived. He was up there,
Oh man, I
so.
didn't know he was that old.
Yeah, I was surprised at how old he was too. I thought he was a little younger. But yeah, he passed away, what, the day after Julian died.
Wow.
So yeah, it was sad.
Good Lord. He would have had to be like, what? Like, in his
50s.
40s when he did X-Files then, right?
I would say late 40s, probably mid to late 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And he did
Oh.
Millennium too, I think.
Yeah.
Millennium.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually looked him up just to see what else he did. Because he composed several things here. Yeah, he did. He was everything X-Files. He did the movies and the series. He did Disturbing Behavior song.
The theme song or the
Theme for,
title track?
yeah, title track. Some of these other ones are probably not as well. Oh, he did Smallville.
Like the theme song or the
He did he it just it's listed as one of his thing. He probably just did the musicality. Is
Oh, like
that
the actual scoring. Yeah,
yes, the
probably.
score. So he did that. So it's those are a few classic, or oh, I don't want to say classic, but modern classic stuff to if you want to know is some of his work, those would be what you're hitting. That was actually one of my favorite albums is the songs in the Key of X, which
Oh
have a
yeah.
lot it had a lot of good songs on that.
Yeah, for sure.
So
Yeah, he did a lot of good stuff. So,
yeah,
well,
so
that is a
yeah
bummer.
yeah
Actually, a bummer.
78,
Man.
wife, two kids, so condolences to his family as well. I just hope he knew that he was appreciated, like talent wise, of all of us X-File fans. That's We will always remember that theme. It always gets stuck in
Right.
your head. There
Oh, dude, he did Birds of Prey. He did the Birds of Prey songs,
you
the
go.
scoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
There you
Ghost
go.
Whisperer. Blue Bloods. He did Blue Bloods.
Okay.
I'm
Yeah,
looking for
so.
stuff that he did like a shit ton of.
Yeah.
Falcon Crest. You guys remember Falcon Crest?
Wow, that's going back.
Right? Oh man, he did 4 episodes of Dynasty, 5 episodes of TJ Hooker,
Sure.
4 episodes of Pee-wee's Playhouse,
There you go.
2 episodes of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, all 13 episodes of The Lone Gunman, the X-Files side project.
Oh, the spinoff
Yeah, the spin-off season.
that did not go
Nine.
well.
It did not. 9 episodes of the reboot of Kojak from 2005. And he
Ooh.
did the 12 episodes of Ringer.
Huh.
So I actually don't see Smallville on here, so I don't know how,
It just
like.
popped up on his Google here, so it's
Oh wait, there it is. Oh yeah, 132 episodes. Oh.
there you go. Yeah. Because
How many episodes? Jesus.
I'm seeing the albums that like his songs appear on, and it's
Oh, he did the first 6 seasons. He was
the
the
first.
composer, so he did the scoring on the
Yeah.
first 6 seasons. That's what Wikipedia says. So
Yeah.
that's pretty awesome, though. Good, that's pretty awesome. He will be missed.
Yeah.
So,
I
all
think
right.
all of us who are in the
Yeah,
in that sci-fi in the 90s was he was definitely the man. So
I
it's sad.
rewatched X-Files maybe 5 years ago, maybe. It might have been during the pandemic. No, it had to be before that. It was right before the reboot came out. So that was what, 2016, 2017,
Yeah, somewhere
right?
around there. Yeah.
Because I was definitely living in the house, not in the apartment. So it was definitely in the last 10 years. I rewatched the whole thing and the movies, and then watched the
I
the
couldn't get
like
into any of the
the reboot.
movies.
The only the first one is the good one.
Yeah, all the
The other
other ones
two
were
are
so
not good.
bad.
Yeah, the other two are not good. But because they're just long episodes, that's all they are. You know, but the I actually liked the revival series quite a bit. I actually really wish they would have passed it on to the two younger guys that were kind of like the younger, like switched versions of them. I really thought that would have worked out, like, because I really like those actors and I think they would have done very well with it. But I also think that there's too many people that are like, if it's not Mulder and Scully, it's not X-Files, you know?
And
So.
they're not wrong in that aspect. Is part of the best part of X-Files was the relationship between the two characters. And
Right.
David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, I don't want to say that was their opus, like that series was their opus, because they did a lot of other cool stuff after X-Files. Both of them did. But I will always know them through X-Files more than anything else.
Did I ever tell you that I saw David Duchovny's band once?
No. Is it as
It
good
was.
as is it as good as Keanu Reeves' band?
No. No.
No.
Keanu Reeves' band's actually very, very good.
Good.
So David Duchovny's band is like, oh my God, how do I even like, it's like if the Beach Boys wanted to be a little bit more now.
A
But
modern
like,
version of the Beach Boys, huh?
it's like if the Beach Boys and who can I even compare it to? Who the hell, what's his name? Fuck. Your Body's a Wonderland guy. You know what I'm talking about? What the hell is that dude's name? Shit. Anyway, so it's like a modernized, like beachy rock, soft rock band thing, like light rock, not yacht rock, but like light rock. But it was actually pretty good. It like I saw him at Ultra Bar, after the first Pittsburgh War after the first Pittsburgh Wizard World, because he was here as a guest. And his band happened to play here, and Todd got tickets to it, and he took me with him, and it was actually pretty cool. It was so hot that my glasses were fogging up the whole time.
Oh
It's
yeah,
crazy.
it got hot in that place all the time.
Yeah, it was awful. I saw Eve 6 there, like right before they closed, or before they turned it back into a church, I should say. So, but all right, let's start talking some comics before we get too far into the weeds here. So. All right, my first book, Green Lantern Corps number 6. Mogo is on fire. Kind of.
Looks like
So
it. Again.
this book, so honestly, it's continuing on. There was a surprise in here that I did not see coming,
Which
but
I
the
don't
one
sit
thing I
still
will
really
say is
well.
the art is so weirdly inconsistent. In this book, like sometimes people look great, other times they look not so great. It's very like, especially Sinestro, he looks like someone squished his head. Like he's supposed to have like this taller head, right? It looks like someone literally squished his head, and his head is like oval shape in the other direction now. But like Jessica looks good. Anyway, so basically, Jessica tells the Corps that they need the lanterns from the other planets or the remnants thereof. So Sinestro goes, okay, I guess I gotta go to old Korugar and get whatever's left over the yellow lantern battery. Cool. So he goes there, and Joe is like, Jess, you need to get away from the desk. We need you to, take a break. So come with me. So she's like, fine. So as Sinestro's leaving, Vexaru is like, "Hey, I heard you were leaving. Can I go with you?" And he's like, "Well, you picked an excellent person to be your teacher. Come with me, young one." So Jess and Joe go, and they actually figure out that the thing in distress that they're looking at is Mogo, and he is literally on fire. So as he's trying to heal himself, he thinks they're also parasites or some kind of thing, and he's like kicking in defense mode, and he starts sending giant constructs at him. They eventually get him to calm down. That part's actually not that awesome of the story. It's just kind of moving the story along. The cooler half of this story is the Sinestro side. So Sinestro returns to Korugar. The last time we heard about Korugar, if you'll remember, was in Super Sons, or I should say Sinister Sons, because we run into the Sinister Sons. They have literally rebuilt Korugar because Sinestro's like impossible. So they run into them and they're like, "Yeah, we rebuilt this. We'll give you the grand tour." And it's funny because they show them like the water tanks, and they even have Major Tom and Melville, the giant space whale, in there. And like, he's like, "All right, cool. Well, I'm gonna take the battery back to Oa." And Sinsen's like, "No, no, you're not." So him and Lorzod start literally fighting with him, and they like punch him and they slam at him, and Lorzod grabs a hold of Visadru or Vexaru, and she literally slams Lorzod into a giant tower with a ram staff and yells, "My name is Vexaru of the Green Lantern Corps, and no one touches me without my permission," because he grabbed her leg, right? Valzod or Lorzod's then goes, "I think I'm in love." So basically they all have a big fight. And Sinsen basically is like, "You can't take the battery, but there's an nth metal ship you can kind of take that's over here." He's like, "Okay, cool." And then Sinestro says, "I'm proud of you," and he's like, "Cool." And then there's this awesome interchange toward Lorzod and Sinsen where he goes, "She's hit me so hard, Sinsen. I've never been hit that like that. It was awesome." Sinsen goes, "Come on, we need to fix that dent in the water tank before Melville complains." And Lorzod's just like, "So awesome." So, and then that's pretty much where it leaves off. So anyway, I had a lot of fun with this book, mostly for the Sinister Sons. I miss those guys. I wish we'd get more of them. My biggest turnoff, though, was the art. It was definitely a down from normal stuff. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 12, only because like the art being down and only like really enjoying like half the story for the most part, because the other half would just kind of move the main plot along. And they drew my boy Sinestro like his face so squished, it's real bad. So, but yeah, that's my book.
All right, we got Dark Stalker, Street Fighter, Blood Throne number one.
Were you about to say Doc Stalkers?
Yes. Sorry, I have
Doc Stalkers.
My
Matt
mouth is a bit, I have
Damon.
some dry mouth going on. Sorry, my pretty, it's bear with me here. I don't have a drink with me again. Every time I don't have a drink, my pronunciation is actually worse. But
Matt
yeah,
Damon.
I'm not that bad. Come on,
Sorry.
man. Okay. Basically, the book starts out. I guess we're doing a multiversal crisis going on between Earth and Makai, I guess, is the dimension that all the dark stalkers are from. So, and I guess there's portals that are kind of like doing the whole Mortal Kombat thing where the worlds are meshing together. So the Darkstalkers and the Street Fighters are combining effort. Thank you, dear. And we get introduced to a variety of characters. Pretty much the most of the characters that a lot of people know through the video game and the franchise. I think the most notable Street Fighter is Cammy is in here in a different outfit than normal. I think that's her on the cover here in the wearing the blue coat with the, I guess, the red gauntlet. That's Cammy, I think.
Really? With like the short hair?
Like I said, different look, but it's Cammy. And Nash, for those who've played Street Fighter later on, there Nash, but he is, I guess he got Frankenstein, where he's got the Frankenstein stitches and everything going on. So they're talking about working together, to stop this crisis, and I'm trying to remember what her name is. The leader of the Darkstalkers are the two sisters. Lilith is the on the cover here. She's the one that's right there in the top middle there. That's Lilith. And then her sister is, I want to say, is it Morgana, something with an M. It's been a while since I remembered all the Darkstalkers from back in the day. Basically the Vampire Queen, like whatever. They go through some sort of weird ritual where they combine their power and their conscious, like their conscience as heroes, into Lilith to become the actual queen of the Darkstalkers. So Morgana just ends up being just a vampire. I don't know why they're doing this, but they said they have only one of them can rule type deal. And Morgana then just kind of joins the other
Morrigan. It's
Morgan.
Morrigan.
Okay. I knew it was something along that line. I just wasn't sure. I never played her. I played the mummy. I always played the mummy. But Lilith becomes the queen, so she gets more powerful, and Morgana is just now a regular Darkstalker, supposedly evil without a conscience. She leaves the castle. Lilith leads. They have a whole plan of split it, like with the Street Fighters and the Darkstalkers working together, each like making teams, and they're going out to say, like, to help where they need to go help. As they're doing this, Lilith ends up passing out, probably due to the ritual and not used to the power that she has now. We also find out that she is hearing whispers from some sort of dark shadow. That's basically where this book ends. Obviously, the art is beautiful. It's a little anime-ish, but it's Darkstalkers and Street Fighter. It's going to look a little anime-ish. The story sounds cool. I am getting kind of sick that everybody has to do a multiverse now, and we all have these portals merging worlds together and stuff. And I wish people would like come up with something a little bit more original, please. Quit doing multiverses in every book now, or every franchise. It's getting kind of old. But beyond that, I thought this was a solid book, especially since I don't think I've done a indie Street Fighter book in, I want to say, about a year or so.
Yeah, well,
Because
you
I
did the
think,
Ninja Turtle one.
yeah, that's true.
That's the
That
last
that's
one you
been about a
did.
year. That's been a year.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, so. Okay.
So, but this was a little different though, because that was Street Fighter characters a lot of people don't know. Like even people who weren't into Street Fighter. This you would kind of have to be a little bit more nuanced, because these are a lot newer Street Fighter characters and even newer Darkstalker characters that I'm not used to. I
Right.
only played like the first Darkstalkers way back when. So,
Right, same.
but I'll give this like a 9 out of 12. I'm just
Oh.
docking it because, you know, I'm kind of tired of the whole, you know, oh no, we're going through a multi-versal thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of played out, but you know, it works for this. It's only the first book. Maybe it'll be better in there. So,
I think the last time I read a Darkstalkers book, it was out on Devil's Due. So if that tells anything.
yeah,
All
and they're
right.
beautiful looking books. It's just maybe you don't read it for the story.
Right. All right, my second book is Sisterhood. This actually came out last week, but it's a Hyde Street story. And I love the Hyde Street Ghost Machine universe, so I had to read it. It's just when I was at the Ohio store, they actually were out of it, so I had to pick it up later. So this is n not by Jeff Johns. This is by Maytal Schutz and Leila Leitz, with Alex Sinclair as the colorist and Bob Lane as the letterer. So this starts talking
Too
about
much.
friendship, and these two girls are like friends for life, and they're even like in a car wreck where one of their moms die, so therefore they kind of become like sisters because of that, and then they go to college together, and the one girl, Violet, is pledging a sorority, and this is like her basically like initiation night. So the other girl kind of is like, I don't really care, whatever. So she just kind of stays in the room, but she's like, I'll go out to your first party once you're a full sister or whatever. She's like, okay. So she was kind of encouraged, but not really. So these pledges have to wear this pink ribbon around their neck, right? So she goes to the sorority house, and this is the part where I almost like, where this is actually the part that's actually the most horrifying part of this for me, because I know there's sororities out here that do this, and it makes me fucking pissed off as someone who's in a fraternity who would never do anything like this, legitimately would never do anything like this. So the sisters are literally hazing these girls, by making them jump in a pool in their underwear to get a bottle of liquor for each one of their majors, and they have to drink it before they get out of the pool. And because Violet doesn't have a major, she just has to drink as many as she can, which is worse. So they kick her in the pool, and she's already kind of drunk going in there, and she goes down for another one, and her ribbon gets stuck in the pool's vent, like in the whirlpool vent. And she drowns. Then the next day, the friend is trying to f find her, and she can't find her. And she gets a phone call from Violet's mom, and she tells her that she's dead, and she's watching this sorority girl, the sorority president, I guess, basically like cover it up and be like, I don't know why she would have brought alcohol to a dry thing and blah blah blah. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, this is why it's so horrifying for me right now. So she like wails her phone across the room. The part that I actually thought was interesting was that the sorority's name is Sigma Iota Nu, which is SIN or Sin. So that was kind of interesting. Sophie, the girl, just is like walking through town and she's like still super distraught, and she comes across a tarot reader called the Sisterhood. So she goes in there and she meets this girl that you see on the cover, the tarot reader, and basically she enchants her bracelet with Violet's spirit. So when she's sleeping, she dreams about her dying, and when she wakes up, she starts seeing she talks to her in the mirror, and in the mirror she's like basically underwater drowning. So in the next step issue next issue there's going to be more. So the I'm going to give this book a 10 out of 12. Mostly because it was very, very well written and the art is fantastic. But anytime anybody uses hazing ever for anything, even if it's in storytelling as fear, people tend to think that that means that it's okay sometimes, and I don't like it even that way. Like, I don't even like watching like shit like Big Brother because I feel like I'm just watching people haze each other, right?
It's
So
basically
that's
what
why
it
I'm,
is.
yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And they're like, well, they signed a waiver. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, it's the
Yeah.
same shit.
Shouldn't be
This
treating
is
human beings that way.
right. This is still why people do it, and they think it's okay because they're like, well, they
Yeah.
do it on TV. So that's why I'm giving it a 10 out of 12. It was very good. I think it could have I think the story could have moved along a little bit better. There were a couple moments where it was kind of like but I thought it was overall very well done.
Okay. We got Wolverine and Kitty Pryde number four. We left off with Kitty, Ziggy Trask bringing a bunch of Sentinels and fighting Wolverine and Kitty fighting back along with the entire family. And then all of a sudden Kitty and Ziggy are their bodies are kind of being absorbed into an entity that we find out they call themselves Domina. And it looks like their body, like what's happening is they're sucking their essence. Leaving their souls, but their bodies are turned into basically like mega sentinels. So they're sitting there and they're watching these mega sentinels that are their bodies now attack their friends and family. Well, Kitty's friends and family. Wolverine is attacking Domino one. Kitty and Ziggy come to an understanding that in order for them to live life again instead of being there just being floating souls, they got to work together and defeat this Domino. While they're doing that, again, everybody's trying to fight but not hurt the bodies. They do end up starting to retake their bodies because Apparently, Wolverine's claws actually does hurt Domino, even though it seems Domino has Kitty's phasing power. I don't think she quite knows how it works as compared to Kitty, who has had this for her life and has been training with it. They do end up taking back their bodies, but the problem was they switched the bodies around. So Kitty is in Ziggy Trask's body, and Kitty is in, or, and Ziggy is in Kitty's body. They do end up feeding Domina. She ends up, well, I don't want to say she, I want to say it ends up evaporating, sort of. So they're in bodies, but they're switched. But they're in the Utel Eros dimension, because that dimension has been open this entire time. So they're all speaking Japanese, except Ziggy doesn't understand Japanese. And the giant ice statue from the dimension is starting to move. So I believe this is where the next battle is going to end up. Maybe Domina took residence in that giant stat ice statue. We don't know yet. We will find that out in the next book. I'm going to give this a solid 10 out of 12. I like the fact, again, it's the store, the art is excellent in it. It's like my only issue with the art is actually this cover. This cover to me feels off. I don't know why. Wolverine looks off in this a little bit. Maybe it's just because it's maybe it
You know what this
maybe.
reminds me of? And I don't know why. It reminds me of that Klaus Janson Daredevil cover with Wolverine on it, where like he's got the dude on like by his
Yeah.
claws, but his claws are actually upside
Upside
down,
down, yeah.
right? Like they're coming
But
out of his
that
wrist.
cover, people like, for the most part, as much as that's made fun of, the rest of that cover is fine.
Yeah, I
But
know,
this
but
is,
I don't know.
but it's
Who
also
did
an
this
icon.
cover?
I don't know who did this cover, to be honest. But it feels a little off. It feels like they didn't add enough lines to it. But the story is solid. I actually kind of like the this continuation of this from the original series. But Claremont's writing it, so it doesn't, it doesn't surprise me, because Chris Claremont can still write good, solid stories. Yeah, 10 out of 12.
Alan Davis. That's an Alan Davis cover.
Okay. He usually
Yeah.
does better. Just looks off to me. I don't
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can see it. Now that I looked it up, I'm like, I can see that. I can see that being Alan Davis.
I mean, Kitty looks fine in it. It's just Wolverine just seems a bit off.
I think it's his hind leg, like his back leg.
Yeah. His foot
Just
almost
like
looks
slightly,
very slightly off.
I mean, but like it, like if you've read all of like, Excalibur, like the Alan Davis Excalibur, just you, I'm like, yep. As soon as I saw it, I said Alan Davis is like, yeah, I could see that now because it's very much so that.
Yeah.
So, all right, my last book, Fantastic Four One, the new Ryan North and Roberto Harp. Bruh. Humberto Ramos book. So I kind of picked this up on a whim because I'm not like a huge FF fan, but I was like, oh, they're rebooting again, but it's not really a reboot because it's still Ryan North. He just switched artists. But he made it like a pickup. So it starts off the FF are fighting Doctor Doom in downtown and it's Emperor Doom. And Emperor Doom basically shoots them into time and they all fall into different times. And Johnny finds out that he is really, really, really far back in time. Like before plants even came to the ground. And he has to find the, they all figure out they have to find the Forever Stone, so they just carve their times that they're in it, and then they wait. Also, Johnny Storm has this terrible handlebar mustache in this. Like, it is real, real bad. Like, real, real bad. Which is like the only thing I don't like about this at all. Ben ends up in the Jurassic period where he's like, beating up on dinosaurs. He actually has like a pretty fun, like, headbutting of a dinosaur panel. Reed is stuck in like medieval times. And his story actually wasn't too bad. And then Sue is stuck really far in the future, so far that she has to stay invisible because the world, like the sun is so hot at this point that the oceans have evaporated. She can't find the Forever Stone because it is doesn't exist that far into the future. So Reed is actually the closest to the regular time, but he's just in regular like but he's still in like the like medieval times. So Sue's like, crap, my brother's dead, my best friend's dead, my husband's dead, and pretty soon I'll be joining them. And then it says continue next month. So while I'm not a big FF guy, I really enjoyed this book. I had a lot of fun with it. I love the art. And I thought the story moved well and fast, and I also think that Ryan North really understands the characters. I don't think there's a lot of writers that really get the Fantastic Four. I think Ryan's one of those people. I think him, Mark Waid. Oh man. There's somebody else that just did them not too long ago. Anyway, there's only I would probably say there's like six writers that I would consider really understand the Fantastic Four. But Ryan North is definitely one of them, and I think he did really well with it. So I'm gonna give this book an 11 out of 12.
Nice.
So the only reason I gave it a dot is because Johnny's handlebar mustache is awful. Awful.
Got one egg.
It is so bad. So bad. I'll try to find a picture of it while you do yours, and I'll see if I can find it for you to see it.
All right. For those who have been waiting for this, Planet Death number one. I decided to give this a shot, just because there wasn't a lot of books to choose from this week. It was either this or I was going to do Cap, number one from last week. But I figured since New Dimensions, we have two variants, right? For this book, yeah. Two variants. So I figure it's my duty is this is the Toddcast. I have to at least give my honest opinion of this book. My very first bad idea review as well. So I've never done another bad idea book. So we are introduced to a Corporal Scott as he awakens from basically a Matrix chamber. You know, this basically looks very Matrixy. From the beginning, where all the soldiers are kind of in these little pods that are kind of like, you know, when Keanu wakes up and he has all the things attached to him, same thing, same thing. A little bit more militaristic than the Matrix, where it was more alien-esque. This looks more military, and we see several soldiers being shipped out, kind of like an assembly line, where they're all hanging and they're being put in their gear and everything. It looks like they're partial cyborgs, but they're still human, because he's always referring to going home. He's going home. It seems to be what his focus is. One of his fellow soldiers, I guess, was like, "I can't wait to get home to Nebraska." And Scott is like, "Well, I've never been to Nebraska, so I'll take your word for it." They're being shipped down for the to do this battle on this planet. It doesn't really get into specifics on what the planet's name is or anything, just that they're going to another planet to either defend or conquer. I'm not sure. These look they're the combatants look like mutated werewolves or demi-human type deal. And as they're coming down in their ships, the ships are being shot down. Even some of the as they escape their ships, and their parachutes are being shot down there. It seems like there's a lot of literal death in this book, hence the name probably. Scott is just focusing on the mission. And trying to get home is like his big thing in his head. The battle starts. They get overrun with these werewolf, demi-human things. He gets knocked out. While he's knocked out, he dreams of his family that looks pretty normal. He wakes up and is proceeds to. Find his way back to the battlefield, and you just see this big, glorious battle of destruction, fire everywhere, brimstone everywhere. That's pretty much the way this book ends. It's not a lot of complex thought in this book. Very beautiful art, though. Beautiful, detailed. I don't know how much like this if the story will pick up after this. I'm hoping it will. It's just kind of concentrating on Corporal Scott here, and that's pretty much it. You really don't get a lot of details for everything else, but I'll give this like I'm gonna give this like a 7 or an 8. Just because I wanted more story. Like the art saved it. It's the art is definitely top notch. There's a lot of awesome artists working on this book. And I'll give the next couple of issues a shot to see, if this goes anywhere. But it's a beautiful book. I give it that.
Nice. All right, here we go. Look at that monster.
Oh, good God.
Right?
He doesn't even
Not
have the
the
hairstyle to match it.
right? That's what I'm
It's
saying. It's like so bad, right?
at
So bad.
least give him like a mullet or something. If you're gonna have the handlebar mustache, he has to have a mullet. That does not look
Right?
like a mullet to me. That looks like his normal hairstyle that we're used to seeing with, where it's like
Right?
the kiddish. The guy in his 20s, wildish hair, but then he's like handlebar mustache
So
to look like he matured or something.
I just love that when I was looking it up, it just everything was like Johnny Storm pansexual icon like came up like everywhere, and I was like, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, okay. So, all right. So now it's time we're going to talk about Superman. So, spoiler free, but if you don't even want to hear that, GTFO, love you, bot. But if you want to hear the spoiler free, here we go. This will be short, simple, easy. So, because I know Justin hasn't seen it. I don't know when he's going to see it.
I don't think I'm gonna see it. I'm not a big
Okay, well then you may
Superman
not even
buff.
care. So, firstly, I will tell you that there is no political agenda in this fucking movie. Like, Fox News can go fuck themselves. We'll just say that, right? Like, they're speaking out their ass. Like, anyone who sees a political agenda in this movie is looking for one. We'll put it that way. As a Superman story, as a comic book movie, the way I put it is it felt a little bit more like a Keith Giffen Justice League story that happened to focus on Superman, right? Because the cast of characters definitely played into the story, but they didn't overshadow the story, but they definitely all took parts in the story, and there were a lot of them. But they didn't overpower the story. But it was close. I will tell you that. It was close. I really liked Holt's Lex Luthor, like a lot. In fact, he may be rivaling for my favorite Lex Luthor now. I'm gonna have to see it a couple more times to do that. This may be one of my favorite Lois Lanes though, because I really think she nailed it. There were a couple cameos that I did not expect that were cool. There are two cutscenes. Overall, it is an easy story. It's not the best story. It's not the worst story, but it's an easy story. So, if you are a fan of like I said, the Keith Giffen Justice League, and if you're a fan of like the Straczynski runs of Superman, I think you'll like this a lot. But it definitely did have more of a huge like tr him trying to get in touch with humanity in him tone than the Zack Snyder stuff did. There wasn't as much like vengeance and well, there you know there's vengeance and evil because it's Lex Luthor, but it wasn't as dark and gritty, but it definitely had its moments. But they definitely brought Superman up to now. Like, this is how he would be in the now. He speaks like he would now. He speaks in mannerisms like he would now. And the last thing I will say, two things. One, my boy Manny, he asked about the engineer. I will tell you, her face does not get covered the entire movie. But the suit, she doesn't go silver either, but the suit does get pretty close, and she does look, there are moments where I'm like, holy shit, that is the character from the goddamn Authority come to life. And it looks awesome. And two, Nathan Fillion does play a very good Guy Gardner.
That's good.
Yeah. The only thing, my only complaint about it, I have two complaints about it. I still don't like the jacket because it's this Justice Gang thing. It's like their uniform, right? Because they're working for Max Lord and he has a Justice Gang. It's not Justice League, it's Justice Gang.
Oh,
that's
dude.
Guy's name for it, and they fight about it. Like, the jokes in this movie aren't, it's not a lot of jokes, but some of the
Yeah.
jokes they kind of beat to death a little bit too. Justice Gang, one of those jokes. But I wish he would have had the actual green jacket. I wanted his constructs to be a little glitchier. They were just a little too clean. That's honest to God, my only two real complaints about it. I thought Hawk Girl was good. She did some things that I was like, what the hell? But I was like, I guess that could be a thing. I don't know. And this Mr. Terrific, I think, actually is at least as good, if not rivals, the one from the Arrow show. Because
Okay.
that guy was real good, like
Yeah,
real, real
was.
good. And Metamorpho was very good. He was actually in less of the movie than I thought he was going to be. Yeah, but I really, really liked Lex. I liked the dude who the cast as Jimmy. I liked the Cat Grant. Like, everything else was just good. Like, it just felt good. The Ma and Pa were great. They don't focus too much on that. They don't focus like I think they're only in Smallville for like maybe 5 minutes in the whole movie, which is crazy because usually it's like a lot more. But I would put the tone of this movie somewhere between the Christopher Reeves and Man of Steel movies. Like, there are moments where it definitely is very Richard Donner. And then there are definitely moments where it's like borderline, Zack Snyder. But overall, if I have to give it an egg rating, I'm gonna go with an 8 out of 12. Just because, like, I'm not a huge Superman guy anyway. Here was the only other thing that I thought was a little weird that bothered me is when they cast him and Lois, he's like at least a full foot taller than her. Like, it is weird. I'm just like, that's just like, what the hell, man? Like he's like she's looking at your like nipples. Like, that's her eyes are your are with your man titties. Come on, man. Like, Crypto, hilarious. The
Yeah, I kind of
robots,
appreciate
also hilarious.
Now, is he as good as Henry Cavill?
So it's a different take, right? Like, the closest of the Zack Snyder films we got to this one is the Man of Steel movie. It would be the closest in tone, the closest in kind of acting. There are moments where I was like, yeah, he kind of reminds me of Henry Cavill. And then there's sometimes where I'm like, he reminds me of Christopher Reeve. And then sometimes he reminded me of Tom Welling, even. And he kind of looks like a mix of Christopher Reeves and Henry Cavill, which I thought was cool.
Well, I watched him in his interview. He looks very Henry Cavill. He's like Henry Cavill light. He's definitely not as jacked as Henry Cavill.
But when he's in the suit, he looks like, depending on the angle, he looks like Christopher Reeves too. Like you could see both of them. I will tell you, when he has his glasses on, he looks a lot more like Henry Cavill.
Yeah, I know it's as far as what's been going on the talking on the internet talk, I should say. It's definitely people seem to enjoy it. It
I would
seems
see
to
it again.
be They said it as far as it's the third highest rated Rotten Tomatoes Superman movie. Which actually, that's not bad considering how many Superman movies have been out, that it's number three.
So what? One, two, and this one?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So, well, it's. As far as the
Well,
rating goes, you know,
I
it's
mean, yeah,
Rotten Tomatoes.
but think about the other options. You have three, which was garbage.
Yeah.
Four, which was real garbage.
Which...
Returns, which was well acted but poor shit script, and then you have the
Yeah. But it got like an
So,
85% Rotten Tomatoes, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
And
I mean, I would give it that.
Superman 1 was like 89, and I think 2 was 87. So the fact
Okay.
it's Yeah, it's that close.
Yeah.
So that's good. Again, I'm hearing the woke thing put out. Apparently people do not know that Superman is an alien, because apparently we there in the universe of we don't know what's going on unless Fox News tells us to. We don't know that he is literally an alien from another planet. So that means henceforth he's an immigrant. Henceforth, that's why it was written in to begin with, since the 30s. So we're having the discussion all again. One of the guys in the comic book groups that I'm on Facebook is like, can't wait to see them freak out when X-Men comes out, and they're like, holy shit, what is this woke crap that's here? When have X-Men been woke? Well, since the 1960s, they're dipshit. So it's the amazement of people, not realizing. It's like, look, if you don't know the subject matter, maybe you should research it. Google is free. Go to one of our stores, pick up a Superman book and read it. How about that?
But I mean, every fucking Superman movie they talk about it. But most people see, and I get it because he's in the Justice League of America.
Yes.
He's often depicted with like sometimes a big ass American flag or the eagle, right? The eagle on his arm statue. And he's also, truth, justice in the American way.
American way.
However, like that's because he's like the most illegal definition of an immigrant, because you don't get more illegal than another fucking planet. Grew up poor
Poor.
on a
Oh,
farm.
that's definite sin nowadays.
Yeah,
That's,
poor, low class on a farm. On a farm, moved to a big city, keeps a low profile, works in the news, like,
He's a
and then
maniac,
helps. And then fights billionaires and the corrupt, like, but also tries to not do collateral damage, right? So, the way this movie worked out, like the way this plot actually ended up being, I was like a little like, huh, that's an interesting storyline. But it felt very like I could have seen this story being written by Strack, like as a comic. At least the Superman part of it, the Justice League ish part, meh. But I really like there is some really good Green Lantern moments, I will tell you that though. Like there's a moment where they make fun of his bowl cut. Like it's real good. So, and then like they allude to some other Wildstorm properties in there too, which are kind of cool. I thought it was neat. So, yeah. But anyway, so go check it out. I recommend it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I would see it again. I probably will see it again. I don't know if I'll see it again in the theater, but I definitely will watch it again. I went out to Phoenix, by the way, to see it in their it's like PDX, whatever. It's kind of like their version of Dolby. It was really good. It was like $16, I want to say. I saw it at like 2 in the afternoon. And it was really good. The theater's super nice. Like leather seats, recliners, the whole way back. And they have little trays, like swivel trays. Like you don't see that
Nice.
in a lot of theaters. Yeah.
Not
So.
anymore, no.
No.
I think it's got something to do with
All
them.
right. Well, that's pretty much all I got. So, unless you have anything else.
I was gonna say, not really. It's been like I said, been a quiet week. A nice kind of everything calming down a little bit. Maybe a little bit. All the summer movies coming out. Everybody getting ready for, like I said, Superman came out. Fantastic Four will be the next at the end of the month here. So people are looking forward to that. I think they came out with the final trailer, the final trailer.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you see the Red Sonja trailer that dropped today?
I did not. I didn't even
Live
know that they're.
action.
I did not even know they were doing a live action then.
Live
So,
action Red Sonja.
who's Red Sonja? What actress is in the
She's
film?
some Italian actress. Hold on.
So no one that we would like we
Okay,
would
okay,
know.
okay, okay. Hold on, hold on. So, Red Sonja's being played by Matilda Lutz.
Okay.
I don't think I know anyone in this movie. Veronica Ferris, I know her. Yeah, there's a whole lot of people that I don't know their names. But
Oh,
let's see who
her.
else.
Okay, I know who
Yeah.
she is. She's been in a couple of things.
Yeah. It just says releases in 2025. It doesn't have an actual release date yet. But I want to say it's in like September, October. Like it's actually coming
It's
out
currently,
fairly soon.
yeah.
Yeah. So, but Gail Simone was like, check it out. There's parts of my story in here. 'Cause she shared it as I was waiting for Superman. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Nice.
So, but it was pretty good. Yeah. So make sure you guys check that out. It actually didn't look too bad. It looked like a, we'll call it cleaned up, souped up Xena episode. So, which it, let's be fair, that's pretty much Red Sonja anyway.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
right.
Just a little bit more violent.
Right. Make sure somebody tells Ryan Yingling. So, anyway, all right, guys.
He'll lose his mind.
Right. All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Make sure you pick up your books at your local LCS. Support everybody you can. Help keep them lights on, keep those guys employed. And if you can buy from us, even cooler, we can buy from us on ndcomics.com. Just pick your shop, then pick the store, then buy whatever you want, mail it, $15 minimum, just so you know. You can hit up our eBay store, our Amazon store, our clothing store. It's all on our website. Lots of cool stuff. And also make sure you follow Three Rivers Comic Con or Three Rivers Comic Con with a big number three. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up about that. Hopefully shortly. I gotta send some emails to confirm some things. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, have a great night, guys, and we will catch you next week.
Hey guys.